Scripture reading is from the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 22. By the way, when we get to this afternoon, there's a typo there. It should say 2 Kings 23. We'll not read the same chapter this afternoon. All right, so I have to talk to my editor again. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king's, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so now we come to greater details of the reign of Josiah. Remember that Josiah comes on the heels of the son of Manasseh, Ammon. So we have we have Hezekiah, then we have Manasseh, then we have Amon, and then we have Josiah. And so what we find out here is that he is 8 years old when he began to reign. And notice that his mother's name was Jedidah. Jedidah means the beloved one of the Lord. And she is the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And that he did that which was right in the sight of his Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. So we have an 8-year-old tyke coming to power. Of course, at 8 years of age, he must have been under good governors and others that helped him to understand the word of the Lord and to know how to do it, how to perform that good word. And so this is something that we always want to remind ourselves, and that is that we pray for our leaders, though they be children and women, right? That's a sign of judgment upon us. Though they be children and women, that they would have good counselors over them. Good counselors to instruct them in all the ways of the Lord, and that the Lord would cause that counsel to stick with them, that it would stick in their hearts, and that sticking in their hearts as it should, they would rule as men like David and Josiah. Okay, so that's the first point. So notice in the 18th year of King Josiah, there's a dispute whether that means 18 years of age or 18 years of reign. It's either in his 18th year or his 26th year that he makes the decision as king that it is time to instruct those priests that have been slack in their job to do their job. And that job is to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. We only have another record of something like this happening in the days of Jehoiada and Joash. You'll remember that, where the house has fallen into disrepair. And Joash the king even has to encourage Jehoiada, who seems to be a good priest. He's the one who installs him, you know, during the wicked reign of Athaliah. We'll remember that. So Joash afterward notes that the house of the Lord has fallen into disrepair and needs remodeling it and bringing back into service. This is another circumstance like that. And note that Hezekiah did not do that, although he cleaned out much of the stuff that was there, the idolatrous stuff. But he didn't undertake a building program like Josiah did. Well, notice also that there is a faithful remnant in the land, and all throughout these years of the house of God being fallen into disrepair, that what have they been doing? They have been ongoing in their gifts and tithes for the house of the Lord. All the silver that has been collected, it's still there. It's all there and ready to be used. And so Josiah tells the priest, hire those workmen and give them that money that they can buy the materials that they need and pay themselves a decent wage and fix up the house of the Lord. I'll tell you, as a construction guy, a former construction guy, there are very often churches that will call up construction companies and ask how much work that you'll do for them for free. Because, you know, we're a church. That's not the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern is the church pays its workers, right? The church pays its workers. Okay, so they do not make any accounting of that money because these men dealt faithfully. By the way, the same thing is said in the days of Joash and Jehoiada. So it's a parallel passage there. All right, so here they are in the temple and they're putting everything back in order, right? Cleaning out the altar. Cleaning out the Holy of Holies, taking down the images, taking them all out, lifting up beams that have fallen, you know, mortaring the walls, putting the metals back on the walls as it's commanded in the days of Solomon from David. They're putting everything back in order, and what do they find? They find a book. A book. What book do they find? Again, we have a dispute among commentators. I'll tell you what my opinion is. There are two things that are heard about in this book. Two things. Well, actually, three things. Three things that are heard about in this book. Number one, we will see later on the Passover. Number two, we will see the covenant. And number three, we will see the judgments of God that will come upon them if they break covenant with him. This tells me that it's the Pentateuch that they find. It's the first five books of Moses. And so the king sits for a reading of the law, which, by the way, was commanded in that very Pentateuch in chapter 17, Deuteronomy 17. And what does Josiah do? Well, first, Shaphan the scribe reads it. And notice what a faithful scribe Shaphan is. He reads it first, and you know, there have been some scribes that have said things like, well, we can't read this in the ears of the king. He's going to be really upset, and who knows what an upset king will do. When kings get upset, sometimes people lose their lives. No, that's not what Shaphan does. Shaphan says, this needs to be delivered to the king to be read. And so it is read in the ears of Josiah. What does Josiah do? What does it say? And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. That's the first thing. He rent his clothes. But we might also say with the prophet Joel that knowing Josiah as we do and watching what he does afterward, that he rent his heart as well as his garments. Right? As a matter of fact, Huldah the prophetess says as much when she responds. So then, he immediately sends some of his most trusted allies on an errand. And the errand is, go inquire of the Lord for me as to what we can expect. I know what the Lord has said, but now let's get some intelligence from the access that we have to extraordinary revelation. He wants all of the word of the Lord that's available to him. Now, we don't have extraordinary revelation available to us. I know there are people running loose on the landscape today saying, you know, pay attention to your dreams, pay attention to your feelings and your inclinations and those mystical leadings of the Lord, because that's true until they're not. They had a prophetess in Jerusalem that they didn't send to Anathoth to talk to Jeremiah. Shows the urgency of Josiah. Go to the prophetess instead that's in Jerusalem and inquire of her. Don't spend all the time going to Anathoth to Jeremiah. Although Jeremiah and Josiah knew each other, it was too long a wait to go there and back. So the urgency of the matter is seen that they go to Huldah, the prophetess. And remember, prophetesses are raised up in Israel when, what? When they're under judgment. And so this is a sign of them being under judgment. They have children and women to reign over them, just like Jeremiah says. And so here it is. And yet she gives a good answer. We have no problem with Huldah. The Lord did raise her up. She is a godly prophetess. But her existence means that they were under judgment. And yet that judgment was not a judgment of silence, but the Lord gave them that message from a woman so that they would know that judgment is coming and it is indeed inevitable. Okay, so Josiah pretty much repeats what he heard in the book of the law as he sends them on the errand. And then she answers them in the word of the Lord. And you can tell by the address. Go tell the man that sent you. That would not be good for someone to say of their king, unless it's the Lord speaking. And so the words of the Lord are appearing in the mouth of Huldah the prophetess. Go tell the man that sent you unto me. All of this evil is coming. And of course, the Lord gives the reason why. Because they have burned incense unto other gods and so on. But, in verse 18, to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him. And then notice, because thine heart was tender, thou hast humbled thyself. Notice, his heart was tender. He rent his heart as well as his garments, is how Joel puts it in Joel chapter 2. And so, although this place will still be judged and made a curse, he will be spared from seeing it. Just like with Hezekiah, so with Josiah. They will be spared. For Hezekiah, that was 15 years longer of his life. For Josiah, he will die what looks to us as humanly an untimely death because the Lord is hasting to judgment. And so he takes Josiah away before that judgment comes, according to his promise. And let me just say one more thing before we move to our vows and baptism. And this is extremely important, I think. That Josiah has just heard that the whole place is going to be torn down. And what does that put him on to doing? The next chapter is full of the prosecution of greater reforms than the repairing of the house. That although Josiah knew that the Lord was going to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the southern kingdom Judah, that he not only prosecutes reformation in Judah, but goes north into Israel that has already been taken captive by the Assyrians and tears down all of the false altars up there as well. This is the zeal that Josiah has. And because he knows the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundance in goodness and truth, we'll repeat this afternoon, he also brings the people under the bond of the covenant according to Exodus chapter 24. What is? I mean, even if, beloved, you had a sure word from the Lord that judgment was coming, the last thing we say is what? Well, you know, you don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. Well, we've heard that before, haven't we? Josiah polished the brass just before it got into the water, right? Okay. With that, then, let's have Caleb come.